Today on the Legends of Greyhound Hockey, one of the toughest forwards ever to put on the red and white of the Sioux Greyhounds, Ken Latta joins us from Weiden, Germany. Hello, Ken. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Spanky, as Hugh Larkin would say. Spanky, hello. How's it going?
It's doing great, Kenny. We're so glad to have you in the Legends interviews here. The Greyhound fans, I'm sure, are very excited to talk about a player originally from Thunder Bay, made his way to the Sioux Greyhounds way back in 1979, drafted. Talk a little bit about playing in Thunder Bay and making your way being drafted fourth round of the Greyhounds.
Well, okay, let's go back to Thunder Bay, number one. I played my youth hockey in Thunder Bay right up until I was 15. And then I was a walk-on, Spanky, to the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. I had a choice to either go to the Western Hockey League at that time and or to the Ontario Hockey League. And because Thunder Bay was in a situation where you can go both ways, I ended up going to the Ontario Hockey League because Sault Ste. Marie was closest to Thunder Bay, and I mean that's an 8-hour drive, and that's how I ended up going to Sault Ste. Marie, and I enjoyed the 3 years that I was there.
Kenny, your Ontario Hockey League career seen you play in the Sioux here for three seasons, and as well in London for one season. In the Sioux in your rookie season, 79-80, 60 games played, 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points, 105 penalty minutes. Some of the players: Goodwin, Gatsos, Shedden, Terry, Buderak, Coffey, Reuter, Larkin, Swejak were some of the players. Crisp was the coach, and Mark DeMoor and Jay Connor were the goaltenders. Talk about that first season on the Hounds.
Yeah, that was probably one of the toughest seasons in my life, and probably one of the toughest years as a person, being from probably a small northern town with 125,000 people, and coming up there to Sioux with it wasn't a big city, but at that time 85,000-86,000, but you're playing against people that come from Toronto. A person like Paul Coffey, for example, was my roommate a couple times. It was an eye opener in Sioux, but I enjoyed it, and it was a tough year. But that's just the way it is in hockey. Everyone knows that. Whoever played the game, but the rest of the years in the Sioux were enjoyable, and I would never trade them for anything else.
That first season, the team was out of the playoffs. Coach Crisp had come in and took over the team. Boy, what a rebound in year two of the team, the 80-81 season. The team finished first in the Leyden and got into the playoffs. We'll talk about that later. Yourself, 66 games, 18 goals, 19 assists, 37 points, 155 penalty minutes. You become an instant. The Sioux fans loved your style of play here up in the Sioux with your aggressive style of play. Tell us a little bit about year two. Boy, the team really improved.
Yeah, we did have a good team, actually. It was a good core. Was left over from the year before, and I know that myself and a lot of players at that time who stayed on the club for the second year, we didn't want to end up the way it was the first year, and we swore to ourselves that the way we treated new people and the older people, I shouldn't say older people, older players, experienced players, and the younger players, to treat them all equal and try to get them to have that feeling that we're a team, and that it started off well in training camp. And we just carried on right into the playoffs. But we just at the end of the year we had I guess we lost to Kitchener a couple. It was against Kitchener, and it was a tough series at the end. But that's just the way hockey is, and not everyone can win. But it was a good team, and I enjoyed the year with all the players. I mean, if you look at the players like Johnny Goodwin or Stevie Gatsos, and you just mentioned my penalty minutes, I don't think we had a person on that team that penalty minutes that were under 50. Maybe Doug Shedden, I'm not even sure anymore. I think Dougie might have been under 50 because I took some of his penalty minutes. So that's why my penalty minutes were higher. But we had a tough team. We weren't really a goon team. I'm going to say it that way. We had everyone that could play hard and play tough. And if you look down the scoring, there was guys that could all score. I mean, Gatsos, Shedden, Boots. We just had a good scoring punch. And then we had a couple of good rookies there, Ronnie Francis, Ronnie Handy. There's guys that could really score. And, it was a good year, and it's too bad we didn't go all the way.
Let's go back, Kenny. I will never forget this. In the playoff round, the Oshawa Generals and the Greyhounds met up, and I just happened to be I was a linesman at the time. I was the goal judge at the north end of the Memorial Gardens here in the Sioux, and boy, it was just a crazy time in here. Yourself, five fights on the same stoppage of play. I will never forget that. I had a front row seat as the goal judge. Tell the Greyhound listeners, take us back to that.
Yeah, Oshawa was always a tough team, and they tried to intimidate us in our own rink, and it wasn't going to happen. Really, the situation started off, I think it was a scrum in front of the net, and then I think it was Scotty Campbell, at least his last name was Campbell, I think it was Scott, I'm not too sure anymore, but Campbell kind of, doing his job as a defenseman, which is correct, and somehow we ended up tossing, and he was the first candidate that got a second or third punch where I broke my right hand, and he was then out, and then the second was Stefan, the goaltender who played for Detroit. He was throwing his mask and his helmet at me. I mean, there was a couple punches there, but not really too much, and then I had a tussle with the late Barry Toboganin, who was at that time out with Philadelphia. Yeah, how did it go from there? Barry and I had a couple punches in between, but I guess I don't think it was too much. And then I ended up somehow Tony Tandy and I, which was a mismatch because Tony wasn't really in the weight class that I was in. If I'm a middleweight, he was a lightweight. And then I think Steve Smith pulled him off. And then, then Conroy came off the bench. And there's a heavyweight coming off the bench eventually. I think he played in the NHL with Calgary, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And there's a heavyweight coming off the bench, and I had to deal with that. And, I was, at that time, pretty exhausted and with a broken right hand. I don't think you're going to do a whole lot. Where I could throw left also, but after the four scrimmages before, the energy level wasn't the highest, and I probably took more than I gave out, but that's just the way it is, and that was the way it was then, and it was a tough series, but we got through it, and then eventually they told me eventually the season would be over with my right hand, and I ended up getting a playing cast. I think I missed one or two games against Kingston, and I eventually played against them, and then we played against Kitchener, but at the end of the series we lost anyway. So, yeah, it was a good year, but at the end wasn't that good.
Well, the Greyhound fans, Kenny, will never forget that. That was just an amazing moment here in the Sioux. Your third season, again, the team did quite well, earned a bye in that first round, placed second in the M's division. They defeated the Brantford Alexanders 8-6 in the quarterfinals. And then again, lost to that Kitchener Ranger team 9-3 in the semis. 51 games played yourself, 24 goals, 29 assists, 53 points your third season, 199 penalty minutes. You were third in team scoring, and you had the most penalty minutes. What a season you had in that third year. Some players added. Rookie Wayne Gruel come in. Richard Bone was another rookie that came in. Stevie Graves, also Rick Tockett were rookies. Chris Felix were rookies on that team. Conway rookie and Bell rookie. What a bunch of rookies was added in that third year. Tell a little bit about year number three.
They really were a good team. They were really good players. And the thing is, it was a tough year. I mean, good. I mean, it was my third year, and that's probably why my points went up a little higher, and I had a little more respect in the league. But, if you look at the talent of that team, which eventually, a couple years down the road, won Sault Ste. Marie the Memorial Cup, there was a lot of good players at that time. And Sammy and Terry really turned that whole organization around, and if you look at the second year when I was there, or the third year, the trades or the draft picks, I mean, they were just great, and a lot of those players made the NHL.
Kenny, year number four, the Greyhounds lost quite a few players in after that third year, and yourself ended up being traded to the London Knights, went over, and in 60 games played, 47 goals, 46 assists, 93 points as a London Knight. You had an outstanding fourth year as an overage player in London. Talk a little bit about the trade and your thoughts of going to London.
That was, it was a back, actually kind of mixed feelings in there. I wanted to stay in the Sioux for different reasons, but it was probably a good move from Sam. I got a call. I was back at Thunder Bay, actually, and he said they were going to trade me to London. And at first, I wasn't too happy about it, but then I thought about it, and I looked up the team and looked at the players, and I talked to the coach that time, and he basically just said that he needed somebody on the right-hand side from Brian Bradley, and we don't have to talk about Brian Bradley. I mean, there's a kid that played in the NHL, and guy was totally offense, and great guy, great player, and him and I just gelled in London, and yeah, I finally found my scoring touch again, what I basically had, and probably as a kid in Thunder Bay, and yeah, being a little bit older also helps out, and the experience helps out, and yeah, it worked out well, but you know, we didn't go as far as we should have and could have, but those are years that you don't forget.
Kenny, your career in the Ontario Hockey League has seen you drafted in the 81 entry draft in the round number 4, 79th overall to the Philadelphia Flyers. You had some playing time in the AHL, the IHL, and over in Europe. Tell the Greyhound listeners a little bit about that and what led you to what you're doing today, a general manager, I understand, over in Germany.
Yeah, that's correct, Spanky. I'm GM over here. Yeah, that's kind of a funny story because when it all starts on that draft year, I remember being in the high school at Sir James Dunn, and I wasn't really too informed on what was going to happen. I heard that I might be drafted and whatever, you know, people talk. And I was hoping well, because being a Boston fan, at that time I was going to be drafted by Boston. I remember Keith Allen, I got called down from geography to go to the office at school, and then it was Keith Allen on the phone and introduced himself and told me that I was drafted by Philadelphia. And yeah, I was in the fourth round, I think I was 79th at that time. And yeah, was, you know, things were going okay. And then eventually I got sent back after a pretty good training camp, I thought. And during the season, I think it was Quinn that got fired around November, December. And I don't know, just things just didn't work out the rest of the year. And the third year, okay, things didn't go that well either. And eventually, I just got fed up with North America and had a chance to go to Europe to play hockey. And thinking I'd eventually hook up with a team back in North America. It didn't work out for whatever reason, and eventually met somebody over here and got married, and we have two older kids that play hockey also, and two professionals, and then coaching. I've been coaching here for the last 15, 20 years, but the last year I took a position as general manager, and right now we're doing pretty good. We're in first place, and things are okay. The only thing is this COVID situation. Normally I get back, I still have a place back in Thunder Bay, but due to the COVID situation, I haven't been there for the last couple of years, and normally I get back 3 to 5 times a year, and that's pretty tough being so far away, but yeah, that's just the way life is, and things keep rolling, and we just try to keep things positive, at the moment everything seems to be okay.
Well, Kenny, like I ask all the boys all the time, share a funny story that happened with the Sioux Greyhounds, if you can, one that we can tell on air.
Spanky. You'd have to ask Dougie. Ask Dougie Shedden about that one. Ask him why he had a blue. What would you call it? I don't even know what it's called in English anymore. But a blue nightgown one time, anyway. So. Shedzie, we had a lot of good stories, and you know, funny stories. I mean, do you remember a guy named Pete Taylor?
Yes, I do.
He was our Pete was our, I guess, our trainer, as you call it, at the time, and he couldn't hear and couldn't speak, and you know, we'd I actually taught myself how to hand signals or hand language, so Pete and I used to talk all the time. There was a guy named Donnie from Algoma or whatever his name was, I forget. Yeah. Donnie used to be a good kid and used to come in the dressing room, if I'm not mistaken. We one time probably dressed him up, if I'm not mistaken, and Crispy walked in and didn't know what the heck he was going to say about that one, but that's another story. Then the story about the time when I got called down to the office because Keith Allen called. It was the person working in there in the office was Betty Boston, and there was always a good joke with her all the time. And you know, but to tell you the real stories, the real funny stories, Spanky, it's tough. It's real tough. But we had a lot of good times in Sault Ste. Marie, and it was a big tight family, and it made things in really enjoyable in Sault Ste. Marie, in Sault Ste. Marie, I mean, I wouldn't trade anything for it. And I used to have my billet was Mrs. Buckley. She was one of the best billets, at least for myself. I was by there. I lived there by myself, and I think eventually down the road, Bobby Probert stayed there. And that's a couple of years after I left, and she was just a great lady. And you know, we used to have our team gatherings at the house all the time, and a lot of funny stories out of that. And a guy that I used to live with was Mario Michelli. Eventually went lived with Huey Larkin. Mario Michelli used to live with me. There's a funny story there. We used to. One night we had a long, long night, and Mario wasn't feeling too well. I took care of him the whole night, and I'm not sure if Mario will ever listen to this, but Mario lives in Thunder Bay. We still have a connection there, and Mario owes me big time for that one night. But yeah, there's a lot of stories, Spanky, but to elaborate on them, it would take probably 2 days,
yep.
And a lot of them would be X-rated.
Kenny, we got to wrap it up here pretty quick, but you've seen a lot of rinks and been a lot of places in hockey. Just compare playing here in front of the fans at the old Sault Memorial Gardens.
Wow, it used to be a great place. I mean, okay, the first year, even though we weren't doing that well, we still had a good crowd. And I mean, the second and third year, it was, it was always this, we call it the sixth person off the ice. The fans were just crazy. I mean, they just pumped us right up, and they were behind us and for everything that we did. And these are you're talking about fans that know hockey. These aren't people that just go to the game for the entertainment. These people know they're experts and they know what they're talking about. And it was always good because then if you went to a restaurant or if you went somewhere for breakfast or lunch and you met some of the fans, you end up talking to them and they knew exactly what was going on. And you'd think they were talking to Crispy or a Sam the night before or the day or on that day. Well-informed fans and the Greyhounds and Sault Ste. Marie, I'll never forget that. And like I said, I normally get back up there 3 or 5 times a year, and I always pass through Sault Ste. Marie. And I wanted to give a shout out to Donnie Chow. There was another guy that used to live across the street from where I lived in Sault Ste. Marie. Great guy. Just give him a shout out. There's another story about something about girls in a car on that one. I don't know about that one, but maybe Donnie Chow can elaborate on that a little bit more. But it was a good time in the Sioux, and a lot of fans that were informative and they knew what was going on, and true and blue to the Sioux.
Well, Kenny, on behalf of the fans up here in the Sioux, we certainly thank you for the memories that you give us up here. Boy, you were an amazing player. The crowd loved you up here, and we look forward to seeing you back in the Sioux. If you ever get back in the Sioux, we certainly look forward to seeing you. Thanks a lot for doing this interview.
No problem, Spanky. I appreciate you getting back to me. Thanks very much.